ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome, everyone. So nice to see you. It's a luxury to have some time just to hear and chant about Krishna. Today we'll be talking about purchasing a ticket. Anyone here ever purchased a ticket? Raise your hand if you ever bought a ticket to anything. Did you get it through Ticketmaster? Did everybody get a chance this week to chant Hare Krishna at home? We talked last week about several ways in which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita how we can be connected to him regularly. One of the ways is through japa. Japa is a prayer, silent prayer. One says to oneself, what a luxury it is also to be able to sit and pray. Because normally there's a storm going on in one's mind. The storm means thoughts, desires, images are coming one after another and pushing us in various directions. There's no peace without the mind being able to focus inwardly, and the best way to do that is through prayer. So japa is a kind of prayer, and this is a fundamental and foundational part of any spiritual process. It doesn't matter where you go in the world, what religious tradition you look at, you'll find that prayer is an intricate part of the process, at least for bhakti. All the bhakti traditions of the world include prayer, because bhakti means that there's me and then there's the Lord, and I'm the Lord's servant and I'm praying. Any tradition in the world that has that idea, even slightly, we consider a bhakti tradition. We have some of the most elegant prayers in the world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find Arjuna's prayers in the 11th canto. And we also have this Maha Mantra, which is the essence of all the Vedic mantras, the essence of all the beautiful prayers, all in one place that we can repeat. And with our heart, invest ourselves in calling out to the Lord. That, I propose, is the only time that one can feel complete satisfaction, in that moment of sincere prayer to the Lord. So we suggested last week that everyone take up a home practice of this kind of prayer we call japa. It's closing the door on rebirth and sin. Japa. So the other process we recommended, and as recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is home kirtan. In your home, having time with your family or friends to come together and sing out loud. One might say, I don't have time to do that. Right? Is it possible that one might say, I don't have time to have kirtan? But we say, it's not time, it's taste. Once you have a taste, then you can't do without it. And once you start having kirtan in your home, then the rest of your home will transform into a spiritual place. Just as when you have a large pot of milk, which you've gotten from the Good Earth farm, from Surabhi the cow, and you add a little bit of yogurt culture, just a little bit. Do you make yogurt at home? How much do you add to a big pot? How much? One spoonful. One spoonful, and then what happens? Better give her the microphone. This is important. I want to know how to make yogurt. So you all imagining we have one big pot of milk, which has come from our very own cow. And how do you make yogurt? Tell us all. Now, how much, one big pot, and how much yogurt culture do you add?
For one big pot, I will put 1 teaspoon of yogurt.
1 teaspoon of yogurt.
Yeah.
And then where will you put that pot?
I'll keep it on the oven with the oven being off overnight.
Just overnight in a warm place?
In a warm place, yeah.
Just warm. Doesn't have to be hot, right? Just warm, not cold.
Yeah.
And what happens?
The entire milk turns into yogurt.
The whole pot? Yeah. From one teaspoon?
Yeah.
So, very good. Thank you. Now we have the secret. Let's give her a hand. Thank you very much. How to make yogurt. So how to transform your family, your home, everything. You add one little teaspoon of kirtan in your house. If you come together, take that time to come before Krishna, and highly recommended practice, get yourself a picture of Panchatattva. Panchatattva is the absolute truth in five features. They all have their own flavor, their own way of expressing devotional service and interacting with the Supreme. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the head, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're the most gracious of all the forms of God, the Panchatattva. If you have a picture of Panchatattva and you come together with the kids, husband, wife, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers, sisters, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-grandmother, second cousins. Did I miss anybody? Bring them all together and just sing the Hare Krishna mantra. You can play some instrument if someone's a musician, but just sing. Even if you do 5 minutes, that's one teaspoon. But if you do every day, your whole house will transform. This is recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the second thing we recommended last week. And the third thing which Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita is to give some of your hard-earned money. Money is a token. It's paper, and it's some nowadays pretty much useless metal. You won't get anything for it as scrap. But because it's minted, it represents currency, exchange. What is it? It's what we give our life energy for. Because as Prahlad Maharaj says, money is the honey. It allows us to have a little bit of freedom in the world and to have some place to live and so forth. So if you earn money and then you give a portion of that money to Krishna for some cause, like distributing Bhagavad Gitas. We talked about that last week and many people came forward. We just within about 20 minutes, we raised enough to distribute how many Bhagavad Gitas? How many? 25,000? So 2,500 Bhagavad Gitas. And from what I could see from the pictures today, Priya Kishori distributed about 100 of them downtown San Francisco today. Is that true? Yes. Yeah. So three ways, which are very simple, very natural. Give something to Krishna. And one of the beauties of giving away something that seems valuable is that the moment afterwards you feel freedom and you suddenly feel exhilarated. And then there's an increase in the desire to give more. And the whole idea of the process in the Vedas is sacrifice. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita a cycle of sacrifice in which he says, you're getting so many things coming to you naturally from the demigods or those who are supplying for us here in this world, and we should feel some gratitude and give back. And he says, if you live without this sacrifice in your life, you live in vain. And you also are transgressing. But when you get in the cycle of sacrifice, giving, you actually grow. And that's counterintuitive. It seems like the more I hoard, the more I have. But the more one gives, the more one is able to give. And the more one's able to give, the more one actually grows in life. And one begins to discover that the flow comes from Krishna. It's coming not from myself, but from the Supreme. It's coming from above. If you add to that some personal prayer, japa, one of the most intimate practices of bhakti in any culture. And you learn how to stay the mind, put off any immediate gratification, and just sit down, or you can walk at a very slow pace in a quiet environment and repeat the names of God, which come in the Maha Mantra as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You will feel for yourself a profound sense of detachment from the world and knowledge, which is that you'll begin to see the difference between you and your body. My friend Banabhata Prabhu, who's now living in Vrindavan, India, he's in charge of the 24-hour kirtan. He wrote to me this morning and he said that he was present when our godbrother Brahmananda Prabhu was going through his last rites. He had just passed away last week. And they took him on a palanquin, all the devotees, with a great kirtan to many of the temples around Vrindavan, and then down to the Jamuna, where they built a huge funeral pyre with huge blocks of wood, tree trunks, and dried cow patties and so forth, and tulsi wood, and then they burned his body. And Banabhata Prabhu said, seeing that, he felt a great sense of detachment from the world. This kind of detachment gives one a perspective which is normally not had. Because I am attached, my vision becomes distorted. But by chanting Hare Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yada Haitukam. Causelessly, seemingly out of nowhere, as a concomitant, naturally you'll feel knowledge and detachment from the world just by performing this direct process of prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're advocating that above everything else. Take time to pray every day, and we recommend this specific prayer, this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's recommended by all the great liberated personalities. It comes highly, highly recommended. And all the scriptures say that, they say remarkable things about this chanting. They say that there's no difference between the name of God and God himself. It means you can be directly in the presence of the Supreme just by the chanting process. Kirtan brings out the whole family and it purifies the vibration in the whole house, and giving away some of the fruit of your work, it will give you an instant sense of connection to the Supreme Personality of God. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he's eternally present in acts of sacrifice. So if you want to know where to find him, there are three places. Can you show me God? Yes, we can. But you have to do the work and research yourself. If you walk into a laboratory at the, which university? San Francisco State. Stanford's getting a little too much promotion here. San Francisco State, that's my alma mater. So you go to San Francisco State and you go into the biology lab and you say, show me a cell. Since I didn't study biology, I'd have no idea what a cell looks like until someone educated me. And this Krishna consciousness movement also gives education, understand exactly who we are and what our relationship with the Supreme is. And we'll be talking about that today as a way to buy a ticket back home, back to God. Would you like to buy one of those tickets? We're going to talk about that today. We bought a lot of tickets in this lifetime, perhaps, to various events. Everyone agreed they bought a ticket now and then. Hope you didn't get ripped off by a fake ticket anytime. That's always painful. And we'll talk about the ways in which to purchase a ticket back home, back to Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and all the previous acharyas. They have lighted the way through the transcendental writings and their example. Srila Prabhupada has brought the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their entirety intact and has not only given them in writing but also has demonstrated through his life how to follow them. Not only that, he spread them all over the world. So we're greatly indebted to him and sit here today trying to carry on following in his footsteps as he asked us to do, and as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us to do as well. He said, do your level best. Whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever situation you're in now, try to take this to its utmost, whatever that means to you at this particular time in your life, and try to give it to others also. This was his system, that by taking it yourself and giving it to others, it will grow in your life, and you'll feel the satisfaction that will induce you to take more and more. And if you plan a little bit strategically in this lifetime, which is required, you can have a successful life right here now in Kali Yuga, when all the odds seem to be against you, and when life seems to be a sort of onslaught of bad news all over the world. You can make complete success. Kalir dosha nidhe raja nasti hi kumara mahadgunaha. Kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Karabhajana Muni, I'm thinking 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, says that although there's an ocean of faults in this Kali Yuga age, you can have a complete success by this process of chanting the holy names of God. So why not give it a go? Prabhupada used to say that you've spent so many lifetimes trying everything else, and it hasn't worked out. We welcome back Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu and Dayaniti. Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu just came back from Spain, where he made his usual stir. All throughout the news, we saw pictures of him on every street corner, an airplane, a taxi cab that you can imagine, distributing Krishna consciousness. And we welcome back Dayaniti Prabhu and Krishna Prana. So good to see you always. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Did you ever pay a lot for a ticket? I'm not talking about a parking violation or just speeding ticket. I'm talking about a ticket to go see something. And let me tell you what a ticket is. I'll give you the definition of a ticket. I have it right here. It's a noun, ticket. Actually derives from the word etiquette. A piece of paper or small card that gives the holder a certain right, especially to enter a place, travel by public transport, or participate in an event. Admission is by ticket only. A piece of paper or small card that gives the holder a certain right, especially to enter a place, travel by public transport, or participate in an event. Admission is by ticket only. What's the most you ever paid for a ticket? Anyone would like to admit? I've seen people pay. I saw somebody, this is a fact, and your cool will back me up on it. I saw someone pay $10,000 for 4 tickets to a hockey match. Albeit it was the Stanley Cup playoffs. None of you know what that is. It's the finals. It's like the World Cup finals. And they could have won the championship that night. They didn't. But nonetheless, people pay a lot of money for tickets sometimes. Anybody here care to admit paying money for more money for a ticket than its face value? Not a lot of avid concert goers here. People do pay a lot of money for tickets. In fact, they'll pay double, triple. Recently, there's sporting matches all over the world that rich people will pay so much money for. And what is it? It's a little card or a piece of paper that gives you the right to enter somewhere. You paid for it, so you get it. Now I'm going to read you an excerpt from one of Srila Prabhupada's purports. And just concentrate your mind, listen carefully. This is from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, first canto, chapter 56, verse number 56. And you could just listen and let the sound vibration go in, and we'll sort it out afterwards. Itava deva jignasyam tatva jignasu natmanaha anvaya vyatare kabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. Those who are serious, purport, about the knowledge of the transcendental world, which is far beyond the material cosmic creation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. One must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. The spiritual master knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte disciple, and therefore a serious student must learn the science in all respect, all its aspects from him. There are different grades and standards of prosperity. The standard of comfort and happiness conceived by a common man engaged in material labor is the lowest grade of happiness, for it is in relationship with the body. The highest standard of such bodily comfort is achieved by a fruitive worker who by pious activities reaches the plane of heaven or the kingdom of the creative gods with their delegated powers. But the conception of comfortable life in heaven is insignificant in comparison to the happiness enjoyed in the impersonal Brahman, and this Brahmananda, the spiritual bliss derived from impersonal Brahman, is like the water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to the ocean of love of Godhead. When one develops pure love for the Lord, he derives an ocean of transcendental happiness from the association of the personality of Godhead. To qualify oneself to reach this stage of life is the highest perfection. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened, even if one continuously performs pious activities for thousands of lives. All mundane relationships are sure to be broken in the course of time, but once one establishes a relationship with the personality of Godhead in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world. One should understand through the transparent medium of the spiritual master that the Supreme Lord exists everywhere in his transcendental spiritual nature, and that the living entity's relationships with the Lord are directly and indirectly existing everywhere, even in this material world. In the spiritual world, there are five kinds of relationships with the Supreme Lord: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The perverted reflections of these rasas are found in the material world. Land, home, furniture, and other inert material objects are related in Shanta, or the neutral and silent sense, whereas servants work in the Dasya relationship. The reciprocation between friends is called Sakya. The affection of a parent for a child is known as Vatsalya, and the affairs of conjugal love constitute Madhurya. These five relationships in the material world are distorted reflections of the original pure sentiments, which should be understood and perfected in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the material world, the perverted rasas bring frustration. If these rasas are reestablished with Lord Krishna, the result is eternal blissful life. From this and the preceding three verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses which are summarized in the four verses beginning with Aham Evasa Mevagre, 53, and concluding with Yatsyat Sarvatra Sarvada, 56. In the first of these verses, 53, the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse, 54, further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy Maya. The living entities, although parts and parcels of Lord Krishna, are prone to be controlled by the external energy. Therefore, although they are spiritual, in the material world they are encased in bodies of material energy. The external relationships of the living entities with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. The next verse, 55, instructs that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable energies, is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. This knowledge is called Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. When an individual living entity surrenders to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he can then develop natural transcendental love for him. This surrendering process should be the primary concern of a human being. In the next verse, 56, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds in his own existential position. Here the words anvayavyatirekabhyam, directly and indirectly, suggest that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. By the way, what did you hear? Just take some reflections and then we can move on from there. Some points and some microphones.
The price of ticket is the intense desire to go back to Godhead.
The price of the ticket is the intense desire to go back home, back to Godhead.
Just the desire is the price, intense desire.
That intense desire is the price for going back home, back to Godhead. Very nice. Thank you for reflecting back that important point. Who else?
The other point, Prabhupada elegantly puts how all the relationships in the material world will be taken away, while the relationship that we maintain with the Lord is not taken away even after the material world is annihilated, which is the most powerful force. So that really helps us to overcome all the frustration and depression and so many things we face in relationships in the material world.
Relationships are interesting. That's why people watch soap operas. Do you have soap operas in India? Yes, you do. They're very interesting. People watch them for years and years and years. I know people have dedicated their lives to, in fact, they have nicknames for them, like, I know General Hospital is called GH. They just call GH. Do you have that in India, General Hospital? GH. Did you see GH? And there's an affinity for that. Everyone wants to hear about a relationship with someone, and there are things that are shocking about it. Those are the cliffhangers. They're the most interesting. Everyone tunes back in to see what's going to happen. And there are heart-rending moments and so forth. And this is what's interesting to living entities, because we have a natural relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone's searching for these kinds of relationship. Now, just by hearing about the relationships in the spiritual world, and we'll hear about this in a moment, one can reawaken one's, or I should say, although it's reawakening, realign our natural propensity to hear about relationships with eternal relationships, a desire to hear about eternal relationships. If one has an intense desire to watch GH, there's not a lot of ananda attached to it. But when one develops a desire to hear about the relationships of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world, then, as we'll see in a moment, one begins to make spiritual progress and actually please the Lord just by hearing about those relationships. So it's nothing unnatural in bhakti, hearing about these relationships. And as Gandharvika so nicely brought out from the purport, we can see these relationships already in this world. The nature of the relationships here is altogether perverted. Keep that in mind. They're spoiled because of contact with the material energy. They don't do us any good. But our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees is transcendental and purifying. A couple more reflections? 1, 2, 3, 4. Back. Right behind you. And pass one mic all the way to the back to Kanka.
Hare Krishna. What I liked was surrendering to Krishna is the first and foremost step in loving Krishna. It's very imperative. Once you surrender, you tend to develop that love for Krishna.
Yeah, we call sweet surrender. It's really hard to hold on to the false conception of life. But in any circumstance, when I surrender that and I admit I'm a servant of Krishna and I'll just serve Him and take shelter of Him, then you don't really have anything else to worry about. Thank you for bringing that up. 2, 3, 4. There was somebody else before we go all the way to the back. Yes?
What struck me was to a neophyte devotee, the spiritual master is somebody who can understand what the difficulties are and get them on the right track.
Yes.
I mean, for somebody like me, I need somebody to sometimes beat me up and say, by the way, what you're doing, just come on track. So we're so used to our parents beating up, our parents advising us, our parents always criticizing us because they are our biggest well-wishers. So I think spiritual master is one of that kind which will help us to bring on the right path.
Absolutely. In any realm of discipline or knowledge, you need a spiritual master, what to speak of the supreme science. And you mentioned this prodding and even some kind of, you know, stern words, chastisement. It actually, for the sincere disciple, it feels very good to be corrected. You have a sudden moment of sobriety and realize how intoxicated, not by chemicals, but by the nature of what flows through my bloodstream all the time, which is like, I'm pretty good. But when you get chastised and there's a teacher who is willing to give you that push, then naturally you can come to this state of sobriety, spiritual life, and say, I better get going. I better take this seriously. Thank you for bringing that up. Kanka, did you get a microphone yet? Here it comes. Sorry, come back to you in a minute.
The five types of relationships which exist in the spiritual world are also in this world, but they won't bring us happiness. But those five relationships will bring us happiness as we develop them for Krishna and His associates.
Yeah, we have a relationship with Krishna. It can be reawakened by hearing about Him, developing a natural desire to associate with Him, and then following in the footsteps of His eternal associates. This is the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. It means following in the footsteps of those residents in the spiritual world who already have a relationship with the Lord. Back to you. Thank you, Kanka.
Prabhuji, I very much like the analogy of Prabhupada comparing material happiness with impersonal happiness, which is much more than material happiness. And the happiness of association with Krishna is like ocean, whereas the happiness of impersonal Brahman is just like water in the hoof print of a calf.
Such a natural proclivity we have for searching for happiness, isn't it? So hearing about the different levels of happiness is useful. There's a way in which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when we discover a higher type of happiness, we drop the lower types very easily. Because when we experience something better, we naturally drop what we already have. And Krishna consciousness means to experience that higher happiness. In the beginning, the science of understanding the various degrees of happiness and not flirting with those kinds of environments that will bring us only inferior pleasure can be done through the intellect. That is, there are various opportunities to enjoy here in the material world. And if one is fortified through hearing Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and understanding what is inferior happiness and what is superior happiness, what is happiness, for instance, in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and what kind of results each one brings, will give me a way of making a clear discrimination between what kind of happiness I search for. And one may also discover that by sacrifice, as I began the talk, one will experience a kind of happiness which is beyond the material happiness that seems to be available. It is available to the lower entities. And therefore, the Bhagavatam again and again says, take a look, even if pigs and dogs can get it, it can't be that good. Don't you go for that kind of happiness if lower entities get it for free. You know, think about it for a minute. Thank you very much. Now, there was a famous song by the Beatles. It was called Ticket to Ride. And it went, she's got a ticket to ride and she don't care. Sometimes people get a ticket to ride. That ticket is this connection with Krishna consciousness, and they can give it up, which is the most remarkable thing, that someone could actually get a ticket to go back to Godhead, have the opportunity, and not take advantage of it. Somebody gets the winning lottery ticket and just throws it out the window. Yes?
When we go out on book distribution, we are out distributing tickets, but people don't take it.
You have a ticket. No, thanks. So this idea of tickets, I'm going to again read the definition. Prabhupada said you have to purchase a ticket back to the spiritual world. Be ready to pay the price. That's reasonable. A piece of paper or a small card that gives the holder a certain right, especially to enter a place, travel by public transport, or participate in an event. So we want a very special ticket. That's what's being offered for the Krishna consciousness movement, is a ticket to ride back to the spiritual world. So you got a ticket to ride, please care. Don't be like in the song, she don't care. So, a couple of pieces of advice that Prabhupada gives in the verses prior to the one we just read about how to purchase. Here they are in a succinct form. First, I'm going to read the entire purport, which is very short, to Adilila 149. I would say my favorite purport in Prabhupada's books, but I say that about a few. And this is a comment to a verse in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that most of you know. This is Adilila 149, but the verse is from Bhagavad Gita, which is frequently quoted throughout the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So those of you who have the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and are reading it, veritably you're getting a feast every day because you're reading verses from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then original verses written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Literally you can live off this. This can be your entire sustenance in life if you have a taste for it. So this verse comes early on in the book, and it's giving a very clear description of how to elevate oneself to this position of having an intense desire to go back home, back to Godhead, to really want that ticket. Because that's important. We already heard about that. Tesham satate yukdanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. You may be in the wrong place. It's Adilila 149. Translation, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And here's Prabhupada's purport. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita, 10:10, clearly states how Govindadev instructs his bona fide devotee. Okay, you got to go to the Adi Lila 149. Okay, we're good. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita 10:10 clearly states how Govindadev instructs his bona fide devotee. The Lord declares that by enlightenment and theistic knowledge, he awards attachment for him to those who constantly engage in his transcendental loving service. The Lord declares that by enlightenment in theistic knowledge, that's ETK, enlightenment and theistic knowledge. You need ETK. What do you need?
ETK.
What was the class about?
Enlightenment.
Yeah. What are you guys studying now? ETK. You haven't heard about that? Enlightenment and theistic knowledge. And that's a nice presentation when you're showing somebody a book like a Sri Upanishad or a Bhagavad Gita. This is enlightenment and theistic knowledge. Sonic theology. By this enlightenment and theistic knowledge, he awards attachment for him to those who constantly engage in his transcendental loving service. This awakening of divine consciousness enthralls a devotee who thus relishes his eternal transcendental mellow. Such an awakening is awarded only to those convinced by devotional service about the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead. They know that the supreme truth, the all-spiritual and all-powerful person, is one without a second and has fully transcendental senses. He is the fountainhead of all emanations. Such pure devotees, always merged in knowledge of Krishna, are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure devotees, always merged in knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment. Bring attention to a couple words that were very tasty in this purport. One is enthrall. Did you take notice of that word? He relishes his eternal transcendental mellow. The awakening of divine consciousness enthralls a devotee. Do you all feel enthralled?
Yeah.
You want to know what enthralled means?
Yeah.
Enthrall. Capture by fascinated attention. That's the simple definition of enthrall. To capture the fascinated attention. And it comes from a word from Middle English which means enslave. Which means your mind is so attracted, it's like it's enslaved. Have you ever had that happen to you? In watching a soap opera? Or any other phenomena of the material world being enthralled? Maybe the beginning of the Iraq War, the shock and awe? Anybody ever been enthralled by anything? Let's talk about a material phenomena. Is it possible to be enthralled by a vision here in this material world? A sunrise, you felt enthralled. You felt that the capture of your fascinated attention was captured. Any other time your attention was captured? Where? Talking about material phenomena. Results of a president. Sometimes it's enthralling to watch a president down to the wire. It's 2 a.m. Who's going to win the vote? It says this one won, and then it changes to the other one. What's that? Iowa, and then, flip-flops back. Enthralled, the attention could become captured. Come on, attention gets captured a lot. What is it?
PS3.
What's PS3?
A video game.
It's a video game. Definitely, it can happen. You can become enthralled with PS3. And what is... A cricket match, sports, people definitely become enthralled. You can watch at airports. We were leaving one of the airports in India, I can't remember which one, and people were gathered around a television there, and there was some match going on. It was either cricket or soccer, and they were enthralled, definitely enthralled, yes. A cinema, you could be enthralled by a cinema program, isn't it? A police chase, a high-speed chase. The President of the United States is giving the State of the Union address, and if there's a high-speed chase, they'll cut away to that. So, forget this guy. Let's watch this guy driving. Can be enthralled in that. What else?
I would say Warriors game is happening now.
Which game?
Warriors.
Oh. See, now you've distracted everybody. I'm just pointing out the fact that your consciousness can become captured. It really can. It can become captured and enslaved. It can become enslaved to the visions of this world, to certain goals in this world, certain activities that are going on in this world. And what is being shown here is the very possible way of transferring that enthrallment from things that really don't matter that much. I mean, let's talk about the Warriors for a minute. With all due respect and not to make any offenses. It's a bunch of grown men wearing uniforms running around after a ball, and it really isn't consequential ultimately in the world. And even within the context of sports, it's not a big thing, because once they win, they're going to stick a microphone in their face. Can you do it again next year? What do you think about that? And it's like, hey, just don't I get 5 seconds? It's not consequential when it comes to the context of our eternal nature and so forth. But there is a way in which we can understand what that enthrallment means. And we can transfer that by practice, by exposure to the transcendental sound. And listen again to the description of what the practice is. Sometimes people want to know, what is the practice of bhakti? Here it is. I'll give you the last few sentences. Such pure devotees, always merged in knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment. It takes place in this venue. Actually, you can create the venue anywhere you go, and I've compared it sometimes to looking for people who are addicted to gambling. When they get to a city, they look for a game. That's all they want to know. They pull into Cleveland, Ohio, and they say, where's the game happening? And it's usually in some seedy neighborhood, and they have to knock on the door, and they open a little latch, and they say, you know, what are we here for? You give a password, they let you into the game, and they deal them in. Those who know this process of self-realization, wherever they go, they're always looking for where the hearing and chanting session is going on. Let me in. Is there a game going on here? Is there a hearing and chanting session going on in this place? Because I want it. Deal me in. We found people, when we went to the mall, they had a card table on Story Road. Every time I go there, there's a card table set up in the parking lot and an intense gambling match going on right here in San Jose. Cigarette dangling from the mouth and somebody running the game. And they're enthralled. I went over to talk to them about the books, and they didn't want to look up from their cards. So enthralled. Devotees are like that. They start reading the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book. They start bringing out the Bhagavatam. They become enthralled in hearing these things about Krishna. And this pleases Krishna. And this opens the heart of the devotee. Krishna's there within the heart. He says, you're interested in hearing about me? I will assist you in your spiritual life. And he gives all enlightenment to the devotee. So this is the first way to develop this intense desire to get the ticket. You have to find the place where the discussion is going on. Yes?
Do
microphone, please, back to Pooja.
Just a funny incident in our household recently. Prabhuji just reminded about the Warriors match. We don't have ESPN channel at our home. Our son really wanted to watch this match. We said we don't have the ESPN, so he can go into the net and see the scores. All of a sudden, we hear Mrudanga playing in our house with loud chanting for Hare Krishna. And he's saying he's praying for the Warriors. And I think it went on for an hour or so. And in the end, Warriors won. And he was so delighted. I mean, in the whole point was that, you know, he had the trust that Krishna is going to make the Warriors win. And we told him, you're the one and only one guy in the whole world who's praying Hare Krishna for the Warriors.
Well, you can ask. We can ask them to thank him after, if they do well in the ultimate end. And there's a text message that's come in. We welcome everyone who's joined us on the internet, and let's hear who's texted in. And what are we trying to do today? We want a ticket to ride. And where do we want to go? Can we purchase a ticket back to God in?
Yes. Yes.
Can we purchase a ticket?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Mala, you missed the purport. I'll read it because you might have been out of the room. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened, even if one continuously performs pious activities for thousands of lives. Now we're going back and seeing how that ticket can be, how we can afford that ticket. And from our Sangha on the internet, please.
So this is Bhakta Raphael.
Bhakta Raphael, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, he offers you his obeisances and respects. He's saying, we have been getting the chances to get that ticket one way, but covered with this ignorant state of mind, we haven't realized that we have it. Now it is time to get it, and guess what? We can even invite others to get there and come with us. It is real cheap and will take us back home. The vehicle is the japa, and the ticket, the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
I like that, we already are distributing the tickets before we've maybe even realize their full value. Yeah. So the first element we heard about, and this is a very practical thing, to come together to discuss the topic of Krishna from different angles of vision. As Prabhupada used to say, thoroughly threadbare discuss. And by this, Krishna is pleased, and by that process of discussing in an assembly or maybe with one or two people, just by that discussion, you become elevated to spiritual consciousness, and that intense desire begins to awaken by gradually hearing. This is mentioned many times in the Shastra. One very famous verse says, Satam prasangam amavirya samvido bhavanti hritkara rasayana kata. Taj Joshanad Ashua Pavargavartmani Shradaratir Bhaktir Anukramishati. This is spoken by Lord Kapiladev, who said that there's a beautiful sound that takes place in the association of devotees. It's like no other sound. It's the beautiful sound of discussion of Krishna. And he says, by that discussion and hearing that sound in the association of devotees, one becomes cured of material desires, because that's a disease. And the sound vibration is like medicine. It goes through the ear, it enters into the heart, and it cures this intense desire for staying in the material world, and rather transfers one's attention towards the spiritual world. Then he says, Taj Joshanat Ashua Pavargavartmani. Very quickly this happens. And he said it reverses our aim in life and our destiny. Pavarga means what you get in the material world, which is a kind of repeat over and over again in different combinations of material and permutations of the same thing, which is a disappointed way of life in various different combinations and different looks. But when you take to the process of hearing about Krishna, then you transport yourself back home, back to Godhead. And he said, it happens one step after another. There is a progress that you'll notice in your own life. Anukramishrati means one step after another. And it starts with Shraddha, which means, as Prabhupada said in this purport, you must be convinced about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Would you like to know what that word means? Convinced? Anybody like to venture a definition without looking at your smart device? Convinced means completely certain about something. To be completely certain about something. So when you're completely certain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the process for attaining perfection of life is this hearing and chanting, this is called Shraddha. So you get that Shraddha in association of devotees, Shraddha, Bhaktir, and then your natural devotion begins to awaken. And then there's Rati as secondary, which means that intense desire and then Bhakti. Shraddha, Rati, and Bhakti. It comes one after another by the process of hearing and chanting. The second element for buying a ticket back home, back to Godhead. It's mentioned in Prabhupada's purport to Adi Lila 155. And I'll read an excerpt. Prabhupada writes, the personality of Godhead and his all-pervading feature of Paramatma enters every living entity from the biggest to the most minute. His existence can be realized by one who has the single qualification of submissiveness and who thereby becomes a surrendered soul. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization by which one can ultimately meet the Supreme Lord in person as a man meets another man face to face. What is the second element in buying a ticket? What is it? Are you sure? How important is it?
All important.
It's the single most. Prabhupada writes here, the development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization. And he says above that his existence, God's existence, can be realized by one who has the single qualification of submissiveness. So single qualification means if you have this, submissiveness to the process of Krishna consciousness, submissiveness to the authority of the spiritual master, you don't need anything else. That is the way in which one can develop the capital to afford a ticket back home, back to God, by submissiveness. And the third? This means some discrimination in the way we move in life. Prabhupada writes in Adi Lila 156 in a purport, one must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. So there's means and hindrances. So what are the means? Hearing and chanting and the association of devotees and developing submissiveness. And there are hindrances on the path of devotional service, so one should be careful to avoid those. And this constitutes the life of a devotee who's carefully cultivating Krishna consciousness and avoiding those things that will hinder his or her progress in purchasing a ticket, because it's the top most important, most valuable thing that one can get in this world is a ticket to ride back to Godhead, and we should care. A couple more points about tickets, because they're kind of interesting. You know, you buy a little piece of paper and it gives you access, as it says here, it gives you a certain right. The ticket holder has a certain right, especially to enter a place. You got your ticket, you can enter. Otherwise, you don't have the right. Nirkula was pointing out to me and talking about tickets that there's also a way in which if you know somebody, sometimes you don't need a ticket. So he doesn't need a ticket. He's with me. If you know the performer, it's like, yeah, they're with me. In fact, they'll give you a badge. They give you a badge at these concerts called Access All Areas. It was a much coveted badge. They just put this badge around your neck, and it says right on it, Access All Areas. We used to get it when Nirkula would get us in. She used to go and cater for Madonna and the Kinks and all these people. They had catering business down in Los Angeles. So they were the caterers. So when we go to these places to feed them prasadam, they just give us this little pass around our neck, say, Access All Areas, and say, oh, here I am, you know? Like, who am I? I don't know who Madonna is, but I'm here, you know, and I can go wherever I want. See you guys later. And because you have that inside track, you have an inside track. So Krishna consciousness also means to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees who have an inside track. They already have entrance. And if you're with them, and you're with the people who are with them, who are with them and with them, all they do is say, hey, yeah, they're with me. They're with me too. They're with me also. It's like, bring them all in. So you get an access all areas, a right to come in. And this is very important when you align yourself in the proper way. Don't try to be independent, but put yourself under the care of the servant of the servant of the servant. Use your discretion, use the doubting process to rule out what is actually the authority and what is actually not the authority. But when you find it, give full submission. Give full surrender at that place once your intelligence has arrived at the understanding that this is the place to surrender. Don't wait and don't hesitate till it's too late. Go in earlier. What else about tickets? There are counterfeit tickets. Nowadays especially, because with the kind of digital printing that people have, this happens all the time. Super Bowl people get ripped off all the time. They buy what they think is a pretty good deal on a Super Bowl ticket through the paper. Look, I got these tickets. There are stories all the time, tear jerkers. The father and the son who just wants to see the team play, and they wait in line at Super Bowl. It's their big chance, and they get right to the gate and say, sorry, these are not valid. You can't come in. Don't buy counterfeit ticket also. Pay the real price. Make sure that you got the real thing. Here you go to Ticketmaster. In fact, they sell a lot of tickets. I looked into it. Millions of tickets. They made billions of dollars. Last year, Ticketmaster Entertainment, the world's largest ticket seller, sold more than 141 million tickets, valued at more than $8.9 billion. Ticketmaster sold. I mean, they want to go somewhere. They want to get in somewhere. But these places, once you get in, it's hellish, actually. There's people blocking your view. It's too loud. Little Schnicky wants to go home. The concessions are outrageous. Anywhere. Disneyland. Oh, give me a break. I mean, all these places, buying tickets to go in all these places, it's drudgery. It's tedious. But investing in a ticket to go back to the spiritual world, that's altogether possible. And go to the ticket master. We go to the spiritual master, we go to the ticket master. Don't buy it off the street somewhere. Hey, psh, here, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you cheap. Sometimes people, they say, why do you have to chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regular principles to get initiated? I'll give you initiation. I've heard this so many times. Like, why bother? You know, just take it. And then, you know, later on something. I mean, people do in different ways, but why buy something cheaper? Pay the price. Buy from the ticket master. Go through the authorized dealer. And get your ticket. Just get your ticket. And then you can go back home, back to Godhead. The real point is that you have to have intense desire. It's not a mechanical process. When I first brought it up, when Malini came in the room, she was probably remembering the story of Akrura going into Vrindavan, and there Prabhupada says, you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. So what we're talking about is something that comes from a sincere effort to please Krishna, and stick with the process with integrity and consistency over time, one can develop this intense desire to perform devotional service, to hear and chant about Krishna. And there is every way in which, by fully absorbing oneself in stages throughout one's life, one can ready oneself for going back home, back to Godhead. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma gives a verse which is very famous and which was approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tatena anukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvagva purvya viridam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. And that is, if one goes on patiently performing devotional service despite the onslaught of material miseries. Anyone? 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 Expecting the special mercy of the Lord all the time, taking whatever comes as Krishna's mercy, and just serving, going on with one's service. Leg blown off, I keep doing service. We have devotees in this movement, leg blown off, protecting the temple, and they say, no problem, I just keep doing my service. We have devotees, they can't use their arms or legs, and they say, no problem, I just keep doing my service. We have devotees have been through everything. We'll go through everything in this world. And they say, I'll go on chanting Hare Krishna, I'll do my service. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten for the fact he was a Muslim, but he was chanting Hare Krishna. They said, stop or we'll kill you. He said, sorry, can't stop. So they beat him over and over again. And he was simply chanting Hare Krishna. They said, if you don't die, we'll get in trouble. He said, okay, I'll die. And he went into a trance. They threw him in the Ganga and he came back out again. But he wouldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. So the verse says, if you go on, despite the anomalies of this world, despite the struggles and troubles, then you inherit the kingdom of God. You earn the right of going back home, back to Godhead. That's the price. So Krishna consciousness is not cheap. It's not a counterfeit ticket. It's not a cheap thrill. It's not a plaything. It means actually taking as your heart and soul the destination, going back home, back to Godhead, and investing your life's energy to buy that ticket. And when you do, then you're the wealthiest person in the world. You have that ticket to ride. You're a successful human being. So we all have that opportunity, and that is our goal, to please Krishna in this way. Kanka.
It's not working. Oh, there. As you were speaking, I was thinking also, not just that we have a ticket to ride, but the journey and the ride is so joyful because bhakti yoga is such a joyful process.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Raja Kuyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Darnyam Susukam Kartamavijam. Not only is it the king of education, the most secret of all secrets, but it's also a joyful process. Susukam. Susukam. That's pretty good. It's not just sukham. It's Susukam. That should be somebody's name. Susukam. Susukam avyayam. And it's also kartum avyayam. It's eternally and joyfully performed, the process. Thank you, Kanka. A question.
If it is Susukam, then why is it that those who are really serious about Krishna consciousness, they have to face one difficulty after another difficulty? There is seemingly no end for the difficulties.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, for the person who is in love and then there's some exchange with the lover, that takes it as pleasure, although externally others may think this is some kind of a brutality, but they take it as actually happiness and pleasure. And for advanced devotees, there's an intimacy that devotees have with Krishna. And when these these troubles come, it actually allows them to give up the sloth of material enjoyment. The enjoying spirit is the enemy of the living entity. The serving spirit is our real benefit in life. And when these troubles come, there's a way that we dig very deeply into the core of our being as devotees and really take shelter of Krishna. All along it may be superficial. And we'll find in the Bhagavatam that Krishna instigates these things for devotees. In fact, Maharshi Chichaketu, success story in Krishna consciousness. He was a king and very attached to his kingdom and also to having a son. Couldn't get a son, even though he had many wives. He was given a benediction by Angira Rishi that he could have a son. He finally had a son. The son died, and he was mortified. The Rishi came back with Narada Muni. They made the son speak. The son spoke spiritual knowledge. He became completely detached. He was given a mantra by his guru, Narada Muni. In 7 days and seven nights chanting the mantra, he attained the goal of life, which is to have direct contact with the Lord Sankarsana. After that, he became the king of the Vidyadharas, who are like heavenly beings, and he had an airplane to fly around in with them. Actually, he had an airplane, a bunch of beautiful women, Vidyadharas, singing, and he was just going around the universe, tooling around. Then he met Lord Shiva and Parvati and some of their associates in one valley, and he saw an unusual sight from Lord Shiva, who's the greatest Vaishnav and a great tapasvi. Parvati was sitting on his lap in public, and he laughed out loud from his airplane, and everyone heard him. And Lord Shiva didn't mind, because he understood the mind of Chitraketu. Parvati became a little upset. Said, "Well, you're laughing at Lord Shiva. He's your superior." And she cursed him. "You'd become a demon in your next life." He became the famous demon from the Rig Veda and all throughout the Bhagavatam, Vrishasura, one of the most famous or infamous or famous demons of all time. And there, in that discussion, Srila Prabhupada describes how Chitraketu, even though he was a pure devotee, he needed one more push to go back to Godhead. He was riding with Vidyadharas in an airplane, and the Lord gave him an opportunity. "Okay, here you're cursed. What kind of misery does that sound like? You get a curse. In your next life, you become the biggest demon, and then you get your head chopped off." But actually, that was his ticket back home, back to Godhead. And he accepted it. And he said, "This is a great benediction the Lord's given me." When he went into battle with Indra, Vritrasura was standing there, and Indra was hesitating because he's like, "I don't know if I can beat this person. He's too ominous. He's too big." And Vritrasura kept saying, "No, no, kill me, kill me. I want to go back to Godhead. I want this to happen." So devotees who are situated in this position where their focus is on going back to Godhead, and they want to shake off the sloth of the material world, the enjoying spirit altogether. As dangerous as it sounds, they're up for it. When danger comes, when the fear of death comes and so forth, they dig deeper. And they have more realization, and they take more shelter of Krishna when these miseries come. And they experience a higher pleasure. It's not easy shaking off the sloth of the material world and all the subtle desires that are here. In the purport to the verse I mentioned earlier, Tate Anukampam Susamikshamano, there's a very instructive purport which gives the commentary by Srila Sridhar Swami, the great Bhagavatam commentator, who said that even after a devotee surrenders to Krishna, he or she may have the vestiges of material desires still within the heart. There are some subtle impressions that have not yet been burned up. Even though one surrendered, they've not been burned up yet. Krishna is expert at arranging inconveniences in a prescriptive way, in a way in which it specifically makes that individual devotee want to give up that specific desire and never try to enjoy in the material world again. And that is happiness. To outsiders, it looks like, why would I want to do that? I want to have the biggest car with the best air conditioning. And once I get out of that, the biggest house with the biggest air conditioning. And I also want to make sure that there is nothing bad that happens to me. I got a horseshoe on my door. I got Ganesh over the ledge. I got everything working for me. I've got enough money saved up so if something happens. Everyone's trying to protect themselves in this material world one way or the other. But ultimately, the devotee sees this as folly and welcomes the opportunity to see that this material world is not a stable place. And here she has somewhere to go also. It's not that you're left hanging. In your darkest hour is when you actually can reach in and find that complete surrender that you've been trying for, which is very hard to get to. Yes.
I was wondering, this desire and the submissiveness, how much it is connected with the surrender, or how do we connect with that?
Yes, that's part of the surrender process, which is mentioned. Sometimes we say surrender, and everyone wants to know what does it mean to surrender. And therefore, the acharyas, particularly Rupa Goswami, has given a verse, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rashikshasiti vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atma nishepa karpanye shadvidam sharanagati. So sharanagati means the path of surrender, and it's sixfold. How many fold?
Sixfold.
Hold up six fingers. Got six things to do to surrender. The first is to accept those things favorable for Krishna consciousness. Second thing is to give up things that are unfavorable. A lot of work to do in those two categories. Third thing is to consider Krishna to be one's protector, exclusively. Next thing is to consider Krishna one's maintainer. Only Krishna is maintaining me. The other thing is to always have this submissive nature, to be meek and humble. And the final sixth is atma nishepana, to consider everything, including myself, to belong to Krishna. This sixfold path of surrender. And if you want to study it minutely, and you'll be well to situated in Krishna consciousness, if you do study it minutely, you can look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book called Sharanagati. And in that book, he sings songs that directly pertain to each one of the paths of surrender. And he tells in poems and songs exactly what the mood is for accepting things favorable, for rejecting things unfavorable, for surrendering everything, and giving one's very self. This is a productive life. Kanka?
When he asked that question, I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada, how many difficulties he was faced with just to come to the U.S. And so many challenges. One, for instance, when he took sannyas and then he was gored by the bull in Vrindavan. And I heard him say on a class one time, he said, just because you're a devotee, don't think that this material nature won't attack you. He said, it will always be there, but you have to remember Krishna. And then I was thinking about Queen Kunti, how the Pandavas were so constantly being harassed and attacked, but she prayed that she knew that each time this happened that it intensified their desire to be with Krishna and to remember Krishna.
Nice points. And not only that, she asked for more of it. She didn't just say, you know, this is good for me. She said, bring more. Krishna, more misery, please. As I said in previous classes on traveling Sankirtan party, there was brahmacharis going cross country, getting out, distributing books at various intervals. And there was a lot of trouble. They had problems with the police, and then they had troubles with their van. And one thing after another kept happening. And one of the newer brahmacharis in the back was saying, yeah, I've been reading these prayers by Kunti, praying for more miseries and more troubles. And they turned around and said, oh, you're doing this. You stop it. So three home practices. Home practice is very important. If you have your home practice, it means that you're by yourself. Now you can test your integrity. Will I go on with the process of chanting Hare Krishna very carefully? Will I go through every day and connect to Krishna in a positive way? And it's not hard. Three ways that we mentioned, and today we'll review. One is to chant japa. Don't go out of your house until you finish your japa. It's foolhardy. It's dangerous. Protect yourself first. First do your japa, then step outside. But don't go anywhere. Don't pick up anything. Don't look at anything. Don't do anything before you finish your japa. Otherwise, you put yourself in grave danger. So, way of counting on your hands. You can count 10 mantras by the little spaces. There's a space in between your ring finger, and that's number one. Number two is the bottom of your ring finger. Number three is the bottom of your little finger. Number four is the middle of your little finger. Number five is the top of your little finger. Number six is the top of your ring finger. Number seven is the top of your middle finger. Number eight is the top of your index finger. Number nine is the middle of your index finger. And number 10 is the bottom of your index finger. Did we get it right? So I don't have Alzheimer's. I can still do that. So there's a counting process. And it's important to count, to have this numerical strength. Do it every day. And make sure that you have a number that you're shooting for every day. And keep it. And you'll notice remarkable things. So let's do 10 together. Are you ready? Yes. First I'll say the Panchatattva Mahamantra, which you should say before you begin chanting Hare Krishna. I'll say, please repeat. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara.
Shri
Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Practice that regularly and practice a lot. And you'll notice that just by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll have knowledge and detachment from the world. The second is that you should have home kirtan. So this week, please record your home kirtan on your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, get one. They're practically free. make a recording of your home kirtan, please. 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds of your own home kirtan, okay? And we're going to collect them all and we're going to show them. So bring us, we have a new program here at ISV called Show Us Your Home Kirtan. So this week, film it, bring in all the kids, bring all the neighbors or whoever you want, but film your home kirtan for 30 seconds. There's gifts, prizes, all kinds of things you can get from bringing us your home kirtan. Third thing is, give money to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's just a practical way that you can connect with Krishna that he recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, especially if you help to expand the Krishna consciousness movement in any way, it will connect you in a very practical way. I want to give a special mention of the volunteers that we have here today, many of whom are in the kitchen right now. They're employees at Google, the Google Corporation. It is one of the finest organizations in the world, premier organization. We've been there many times and we've seen how it's organized. And we feel very honored to have the people, the workers coming from there with the cream of the crop, really, that you can find in anywhere in the world who work at Google. And they're coming here to help and volunteer. And you'll notice they have badges on. There's a whole crew today that are in the kitchen helping to cut up vegetables, clean, and so forth. So we'd like to give a call out to our friends from Google who are here volunteering. We're so honored and appreciative. Please let's give them a big round of applause. And also, we invite all the Google volunteers to please ask your CEO to come here too. Ask him to come and partake this. And now we're going to have some kirtan because we talked about japa. And now we're going to sing some of the kirtan. And Sri Krishna Purushottam, before we do, has some important information.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Today we have 18 tickets packaged as a one ticket to can purchase it for $250 as a form of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So you can buy one set of Bhagavatams, two set of Bhagavatams for?
No, I'm saying 18 books, right, Prabhu, as 18 tickets
okay,
packaged as a one ticket.
Okay, so 18 books in one package that will give you 18 chances of going back to Godhead. You can see SKP if you want a quick ticket back to Godhead. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.